Hello and welcome into another edition of 90 Day Our Way. I am one half of your co-hosts. I am John.
And I'm the other half. I'm Lindsay.
And thank you all for joining us for this second episode of the season. Things started getting heated up in this episode. Had some confrontation between Shahida and Shida. We had a nice housewarming party, some trips to other countries, and family fighting, as always. But with that being said, is there somebody you would like to start us off with, Miss Lindsay?
Let's go to San Diego and start with Kimbali.
All right, so Kimbali and Usman, a.k.a. Sojboy.
Hold up. So we see Usman this episode, and every time he introduces himself, it's, I'm Usman, I'm however old he is, 31. 33. 33, from Nigeria, a.k.a. Soldier Boy. Every time.
I love it. It's great. It's fantastic.
Okay, sorry. I have something to say. I'll hold on to it.
So we start with him. And he says how he's trying to take things slow because of past relationships, including Zara and the artist formerly known as...
Baby Girl Lisa. So this is my thing. I understand that 90 Day pretty much like kicked her off the show because of like racist stuff that came out. Like she was throwing the N-word at Usman and like all this stuff. I understand that. But why do we pretend like she was never on this season or never on this series? And like, why don't we, like, she sucks, but why can't we flash back to like their season?
Want to distance themselves from her and not give her any more airtime?
I get it, but like, we know who she is.
Yeah.
We know who Baby Girl Lisa is. We know that they got married. We know she's racist as fuck and, like, abusive and all this stuff. Which then, like, why do you have Angela on this season? It, like, you know what I mean? So...
I don't disagree.
I think that's what annoys me is that, like, we dance around Baby Girl Lisa. Like, oh, my ex-wife was American and she was old and this and that. It's like, we know. We watched you get married. We watched you get married. So it's like, that's shit... That just annoys me about 90 Day.
Yeah, can't say I disagree. And then Usman goes on to say how much he cares for Kim, and it's because of love, loyalty, and the support she has for him, not beauty or sexy.
That is what you want your future fiance to say about you. 100%. Oh, why do you like her? For the support. No, she's not beautiful or sexy.
It's got to be a combination of all of those things you mentioned. I'm sure some things weigh more than others, but you can't say that your future, well, potentially future wife is not beautiful or sexy. I just thought that was absolutely hysterical.
I also like how you just said potential. future wife. So she's like keeps moving on, so yeah. She's girlfriend now she's potential future wife.
Yeah, keep moving up the ranks. But we find out that Kim is heading to Nigeria to meet his family.
We knew this already.
Yeah, but now like we figure out like why and stuff. So to meet his family, and then we get to how Usman wants his family to give the blessing, especially his mom, so that they can get engaged. And he's speaking with his brother Muhammad and says how Kim says that he can get another wife when he's ready. And Muhammad was like, well, I don't think mom is going to be very supportive of this. But does think the second wife will allow his family to be supportive. So it's like balancing those two sides of the things. Like, oh, it's another white woman from America that you're trying to marry. But this
older
one,
white woman.
But this one will probably let me have a second wife. So like, it's going to be okay.
So what I found funny is that his brother said, oh, why can't you just find like a younger American woman or like someone yeah. closer to home? And it's like he keeps going after all these old ass women that can't have children. So his family's getting PO'd because it's like a big thing to have kids.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's that they're easier to manipulate.
100%. Woohoo, boys.
Especially when you're...
Baby girl Lisa, that's something she taught me. Woohoo, boys.
Especially when you're 20 years younger, it's like, ooh, look at this, you know, sexy man who's 20 years older than me, 20 years younger than me, that's into me. Like, this is great. And then you're just blinded by that whole thing and the persona of him being a musician and an artist and all these things. So very interesting to see kind of that whole dynamic as well.
So Kimbali, back in the States, she picks up her son Jamal from the airport. He's coming to visit from New York. And the last time like he saw her, I imagine, was the tell-all.
Yeah.
And all that shit went down where she found out about Zara and they fought and all this stuff. So Jamal is visiting and she explains, Kimbali explains that she thinks the tell-all brought her and Usman, like, made them stronger.
Yeah, because then she went to visit him and how, like, their love now is much better and they really care for one another now and all these things, which is pretty funny if you ask me.
So Kimberly explains that she's going to propose to Usman.
Yeah, she's telling her mom, Sally, and Jamal that she's proposing and then applying for the K-1 visa.
And Jamal is just like, what the fuck are you doing?
He's like, oh, you need a visa to come here? Like, oh, light bulb.
Oh, wait, light bulb. He's also says that the man should propose, not the woman.
Yep.
And like, he doesn't understand why she needs to propose to show her love for him.
Yeah.
And I mean, he doesn't say it out loud, but we all know what he's thinking, that Usman just wants to come here for a green card.
Yeah, which, I mean, kind of goes back to the whole, like, musician thing, how he's like, oh, I want to be an international superstar. Like, what easier way to be an international superstar than to come to the States where it's a melting pot? So it just makes it that much easier. And Jamal even says, like, how he never trusts Usman and thinks it's too much, way too soon. And then both, Sally was saying how she doesn't want her daughter to get hurt, and Kim is saying how she just wants to be happy. And it seems like a situation where Kim is gonna do what Kim wants to do, which she's a grown-ass woman, like she should, but at the same time she's probably not going to get the type of support from her son that she wants. And I think her mom is just kind of too old to care at this point.
Yeah, I think her son and her mom want the same thing, where they just want Kimberly to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think Usman is the answer to, like,
I don't think so.
To be happy.
No, no.
And I just truly feel bad because she seems like a nice woman that is just getting played by Usman.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%.
And Jamal sees it.
Yep.
Sally sees it.
Yep.
The only one that doesn't see it is blinded by love, which is Kimberly.
Yeah, no, 100%. And that's exactly what I was going to say.
So, I mean, we'll see. It looks like she's in Nigeria next episode. So we'll see what goes down. But more drama with Usman and Kimbali.
Yeah, that'll definitely get much more interesting as she meets his family.
Yeah.
And we'll see how that goes.
Because do you remember when baby girl Lisa met his family and she was like cursing and smoking and all this stuff? And they were like, you let her treat you that way? And I have a feeling they're going to think that Kimberly does the same thing, because she is kind of aggressive, like throwing drinks in his face. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve the drinks in his face, but like throwing drinks in his face. And then like on next time on, she's like, you're lucky I didn't throw this plate of food at you. Like, it's this aggressive behavior that they're going to see.
Yeah. No, I think she'll be much more reserved, I would say, with meeting his family. At least that would be my indication. And anything is an improvement from...
baby girl.
Yeah, anything is an improvement from Lisa, so...
True that.
But that pretty much sums them up. Who would you like to move to next?
Let's go to Jovi.
Jovi and Yara?
Jovi and Yara.
So they're heading out on a date with Mila.
With Mila, because they lost their babysitter because they're fucking idiots.
So they're heading out to a winery, and Jovi is ready to have some fun.
He's tired of playing dad, says the man who is a dad.
Just hilarious.
Who the fuck says that? I'm sick of playing dad. You are a fucking dad. Sorry, I probably just screamed at everyone's ear by saying that. You are a dad. You're not playing anything. You are a dad.
It was just pretty funny. But then Jovi and Yara are talking, and we find out that also Miss Gwen previously told Jovi that girl is going to sell your organs.
Yeah, so I guess before Miss Gwen met Yara, she thought that Yara was going to rip Jovi's body open and sell her organs on the black market. And Yara's like, well, I will cut your penis off if you cheat on me. And Jovi's like, yeah, and you'll sell it. She's like, no, I'll just throw it in the trash. The dogs will have it. They were pretty funny this episode. Like,
yeah.
Like, their dynamic was pretty cute. Like, pretty funny and cute.
I agree. So we saw that, which was pretty funny. And then we find out there was a fight between Jovi and his mom, as it seems like he took Yara's side on things. And Miss Gwen and Yara haven't spoken in 6 months.
So what it seems like, and we see a little bit of this on the next time on, that... when Jovi was going to work, Miss Gwen was helping Yara with Mila. And it seems like either Yara was taking advantage of the help or that Miss Gwen just got fed up.
Yeah, I think it's somewhere, down the middle. It seems like if Miss Gwen was there, like, Yara was like, okay, like, I'm out.
Yeah.
Like, let me go shopping or let me go out with my friends or, like, let me sit in the bedroom and... sit on my phone or do whatever. And it was like Miss Gwen was taking care. I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, we don't know.
But that's what they made it seem like.
And it seems like Yara is expecting one thing and it hasn't happened. So she's disappointed. But I do agree with her. Like, she is in America by herself and like Jovi's away for months on end, that you do need help. She doesn't have her parents, she doesn't have any other family, so having Miss Gwen is like pretty important. And we saw, like, when COVID happened, Yara even moved in with Miss Gwen to take care of Mila and stuff, so they did seem to have a pretty good relationship.
Yeah, but because then they were saying that she wouldn't even come over when Jovi would go away to work the last few times. So it's like, I think it's more so of like she got fed up, and it's a 3-hour drive. Like,
that's
crazy. I didn't realize it was that far away. I thought it was like an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, but yeah, 3-hour drive. Like, you're probably going to spend the night, and they have not a large place to live. So she's not going to, you know, like have her own bedroom or something. She's probably just sleeping on like an air mattress or on the couch. So if she's, you know, going over and helping with the baby all day, if you're driving, that's a 6-hour day of just driving. So that's a long day for anybody.
Yeah, so they haven't talked, so that's why Mila is going to the winery with them, to the vineyard.
Yep.
And they show up at the vineyard, and, I mean, Jovi's just like, I'm ready to drink.
Yeah, yeah. Also, also in the car, though.
Oh, sorry.
Right as they get to the winery, like, the pan of the end of that scene, we find out that Yara still doesn't have her green card.
No, she has working papers, but not her green card.
And then she says how she's worried about her family in the Ukraine, which obviously.
Yeah, so they were talking about going to Europe, like a part of Europe, to meet up with her mom. Because it seems, I don't even know if Yara's mom's like met Mila yet or anything.
No, because Yara hasn't left the country.
Oh, well, yeah, she can't. And I don't think her mom has come here. So they were talking about meeting Yara's mom in Europe somewhere. But since she doesn't have a green card, they're scared that Yara won't be able to come back into the country, meaning America. And then with everything going on with Ukraine, it's hard for her not to want to go over there and see her family and make sure they're okay. When she might not be able to come back to the United States.
Yeah, so a lot of layers in that, and I can understand why Yara is upset for obvious reasons.
Yeah, and like she starts like tearing up when they're talking about Miss Gwen, and I think it does show that, you know, Yara does respect her and loves her like a mom figure.
For sure.
And that this is really tearing her apart, especially when she hasn't seen her own family in almost 2 years.
Definitely. So yes, so with that covered, now we get to the winery.
Getting wasted at the winery with our 18-month-old.
So they're doing the tastings, and then the people who I guess run the winery, own the winery, they are taking Jovi and Yara on a walk. So Jovi's like, well, are we going to be gone a while? And they're like, yeah, probably. And he's like, all right, like, let me grab the bottle. I'm going to take the bottle with me.
Well, I'm going to take the bottle. It's which, like, bro.
Which was pretty funny.
You don't need the bottle.
So this is where they get to, you know, the part of the winery. They're out there. Everything seems to be going good. And then Yara brings up how she doesn't feel great about her body and specifically her boobs.
They look like trash bags, according to her. They looked fine in the crop she was wearing today, so, or this episode, I should say.
And then Jovi's like, they don't look the same, but you look good. You look good naked.
Who says that? Like, you know, you are right that they don't look the same.
It's like, yeah, obviously, but you don't have to say that.
What was so funny, though, is he's like, Yara's like, I want to look good for you and romantic time and all this stuff. And Jovi goes, well, I still think you're sex. Like, I still want to have sex with you.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I don't want to have sex with myself. It was funny.
I mean, I get it. Like, if you're not comfortable, like, in your own skin type of thing. But, yeah, she thinks that she needs to fix her boobs and get fake ones. And Jovi's like, yeah, I like fake boobs, you know, like a stripper.
This man, he pisses me off to no end.
And the last part of it, which I kind of agreed with, is when he was saying how he doesn't want Yara to do it just because of her friends. And he hopes they don't have a negative influence on her because he sees over the last, you know, a couple months that her, like, outlook and stuff has kind of changed with being around them. And he's like, oh, it's fake boobs now. Then what is it going to be, Botox and something else? So.
Yeah, so he was saying, like, a few months ago before she met these women, if she said she wanted a boob job, he would have been like, okay, go get a boob job. But now that she's hearing it from these friends and they've had boob jobs and stuff, like, he thinks that she just wants to get them because they think they're cool.
Yeah, exactly.
But he does admit during his interview, this is the quote, in reality, her boobs don't look great. So I can see how there's room for improvement.
Like, yes, this is
husband of the year.
I was gonna say, this is the way you're talking about your wife.
Your wife
on camera.
She gave birth to your child that you have to pretend play dad, and you're saying that her boobs look gross.
They're funny though.
They are funny. Like, they fuck around with each other.
I think they play off each other well.
Very well. She's pretty serious. He, like, doesn't give a fuck about anything.
No, he's just a clown.
He just wants to be a bachelor his entire life. Like, when I say bachelor, not meaning, like, he wants to be single, but he wants to, like, be the party guy, go to the strip clubs.
Yeah.
Party with his wife, whatever.
Yeah, because he does these month-long work trip, so he figures, like, oh, I'm working for a month, now I'm off for a month, I'm gonna party for a month.
Jovi, time to grow up.
He's figuring it out, slowly but surely.
I hope him and Miss Gwen can make up.
But that was pretty much it from them, as for this episode, at least. So who would you like to head to next of our three, since we're not dealing with the other one?
Yeah, this is probably a good point. Big Ed was on this episode. We are not covering him. We literally fast forward during his scene, so there's not even like room for a slip up for us to even mention. We have no idea. He sucks. Don't support him. That is my spiel. So which fight do you want to go to? The Summit and Jenny fight? The Andre and Libby
fight. Let's do the Andre and Libby one, since that wasn't really
a fight
as intense as the other ones, since it was everybody against Pam.
Pam is a fucking idiot.
She's just an
enabler. Denial. Okay,
yeah,
Andre was right. She's in denial.
Yeah.
And she enables.
She's a mom who's in denial. So Andre and Libby are having a housewarming party with some friends and family.
No. Some family and a bunch of randos. I have no idea who's here. They just, like, invited people they saw in the grocery store and were like, hey, do you want to come to our housewarming?
Was that Ben? Was that Jen or Becky?
It was Becky.
Or both.
They were both combined.
So Andre is not really that thrilled or happy with Libby's family coming over, except for Chuck. And
because he wants to do business. Like, this is a party for him.
It's networking.
Exactly. He quote unquote surrounds himself with successful people so that he can be successful. I mean, he invites his fucking immigration lawyer. What an idiot.
The mortgage guy George,
his wife, don't remember her name.
Dolores, I think.
That sounds right, but it's also such an old lady.
I don't think it's right. I think it's wrong. I didn't write it down.
Marisol. So it's a bunch of people that are just like industry rather than friends.
Yeah, and Andre doesn't want to deal with the drama, which I totally understand. And I get that, especially when you have George, the mortgage man, and your immigration attorney, and Chuck there. It's like, you don't want to have those blow-ups. So I understand where he's coming from.
I will say, when he opens the door for Becky, so awkward. Not even
like a
kiss on the cheek or like a quick hug. It was just like, oh, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, welcome to my house.
I will say, though, I sense a lot of jealousy from Becky and Jen.
Oh, yeah.
Of Andre, because they see him as someone who, like, came here and is being successful. And I feel like they're somehow, like, mad and upset by that.
I think this is what it's always come down to with them, is that they think he came with his hand out to Chuck and was just like, hand me everything.
Yeah.
Where they don't see that they are the exact same way.
Yeah, but Andre is like doing the work. He's like,
I mean,
pulling refrigerators apart and
just about to say
smashing
that.
Countertops. And
that's my thing. It's like him and Chuck are in business together. And he's working his ass off. I don't know what fucking Becky and the other one do.
Fucking listing Jen. And showing agent. You do nothing.
Nothing. Oh, I forgot Becky is the listing agent.
You do nothing.
But it does seem that the family is kind of cordial with each other. Definitely not as much drama with
Charlie
someone removed.
With Charlie out of the picture.
Exactly. So Libby is giving a tour
yes
to her mom, her sisters and Marisol.
Yes, yes, got the name now.
And they show Eleanor's room, and it's really cute. She has like a feather chandelier.
Real feathers.
Fire hazard.
Probably, yeah.
And she's like, and here's the studio.
Little piano in the corner.
Piano in the corner. There's like fucking moving.
Yeah, the moving blankets. Are on like a dresser or something.
So she says, though, she's like, oh, this is the guest room / studio. And then Marisol is like, oh, you have a piano? Do like, you sing? Like, no, bitch. She just said it was a fucking studio.
And then she's like, put on the spot. She's like, oh, like, sing something for us.
I was a professional singer, so sing something for us. Well, you know, she needs to be prepared to be put on the spot if she wants to do this long term. Who the fuck are you, George the Mortgage's wife?
So Libby avoids singing. But then she says how she wants to do nursery rhymes.
Nursery rhymes.
With Ellie.
Professional nursery rhyme singer.
Hey, someone's got to do it. You remember Charlie Waffles?
No.
2 1/2 Men. Charlie Waffles,
oh,
baby.
Okay.
Someone's got to do the job.
The Wiggles.
The Wiggles. Crushed it.
The Adley bitch that my baby. Sorry, I don't like her. I like Adley. I don't like her parents.
But someone's got to do it.
YouTube star. But this is my thing. I think
kids watch that.
Libby is seeing, and Andre are seeing how much money and followers these like family channels have with these little kids. I mean, Ryan's toy review.
Yeah, kids making like $20 million a year.
So they probably see the dollar signs like they see with OnlyFans.
Hey, it's a way to make money. And it seemed like after she said that, it was like Marisol was like shutting it down. Like, oh, you're going to do nursery rhymes? Like, that's it? It's like, oh.
Yeah. Oh, is there money in nursery rhymes? And Libby's like, I just want to do something I like to do, which is sing.
With so, my daughter and then just film it. And if people watch it, they watch it. Which, hey, I'm all aboard that train. If you're going to do it anyways, might as well film it, post it. If it takes an extra, you know, 20 minutes or whatever, and you make money from it, by all means.
There's so much money to be had in YouTube. They're capitalizing on OF. They both have jobs. Why the fuck not?
Cameo.
Why the fuck not?
I agree. I'm all in.
So then the party's going on, and fucking Pam.
Yeah, so it's winding down. George and Marisol head out. The attorney heads out. Seems like everybody else who's not family is out. So it's just the family that is still there, and they start talking about Charlie, and
Andre
just wants everyone to keep their mouth shut.
Yes, and Libby's sisters even say how it wasn't a typical like family party because there really wasn't any fighting.
Yeah,
and so fucking Pam is like, well, it would be so nice if Charlie was here.
And he wouldn't be an issue.
He wouldn't be an issue. I've seen a real change in him.
And she said how she thinks that Andre and Charlie should bury the hatchet. Andre was just instantly like, Pamela's delusional.
She's in denial. He starts cursing at her. And then even Libby's sisters are like, no, like, that's not what it is. Like, Charlie has a problem. He needs to go to rehab. He needs to figure this out.
Yeah.
And then Pamela's like, well, everyone's drinking here.
I've seen you drink as much as him. I've seen it. And now you're getting aggressive.
And Andre and Charlie are the same person.
And Jen and Becky were even saying, like, I can't believe we're agreeing with Andre on this one. It's like, yeah, I know. And Andre then says how Charlie's not welcome and Pamela is going to be put in the same category if she continues.
Yeah, but she just wants them to figure it out and work through their issues like adults. And literally everyone's like, no, Charlie is an alcoholic and needs to go to rehab. And then Chuck even chimes in and goes, mom of the year here.
Yeah. He's like, he like starts clapping a little bit. He's like, mother of the year.
It's definitely like such an ex-husband thing to say. It's like, so funny.
Like, fuck this lady, in other words.
So essentially, that's how it ends.
It was pretty funny, I thought.
I thought they had the best scenes of that episode, I will say that.
Andre's a star, you know?
They're both stars. On OF, probably on this kid YouTube thing.
Just funny, like, he doesn't hold back. He just says whatever is on his mind, and he has no issue saying it.
He was wasted when he was arguing.
I would say
with
he
Pam.
Was drunk. I don't think he was wasted.
But I will say that he has such an aggressive nature, but I think it's just like the Eastern European.
Yeah, it's just
in
who
him.
He. It's who he is. Like, that's and just he doesn't think that it is
exactly. So he's like telling them like, "You're a fucking idiot," or like, "Why would you think that?"
Yeah,
and it's not like a real like he's angry. He's right. Just like, "You're stupid. Like, shut up." Kind
and
of.
And he was
thing.
Also a bouncer and a policeman over there, so like you can only imagine what he was seeing.
For real, he was a corrupt policeman in Moldova, and then he was a bouncer in Ireland. So can you imagine the shit he had to deal with to then come over to the United States and deal with fucking family
this,
Libby all the time?
This stupid bullshit.
Ay, fay.
So that's it for them. Of the last two, who would you like to head over to?
Do you want a screaming Mother Smith or a screaming Shahida?
let's go to India.
Let's go to India. So we ended last episode with Sumit telling his parents that him and Jenny got married, and you see his mom start to freak out.
Yeah. And so this episode starts with Sumit's mom saying, "Are you even our son? No.
You're not invited to anything anymore. Not even your mother and father's funeral." How do you get disinvited to a funeral?
I don't know.
By marrying a woman 30 years your senior.
Who's the same age as your mom.
And she pretty much says, like, it's either Jenny or it's me and your dad. And Smith's like, well, we're kind of married, so.
Yeah. It's also funny, too, like, and we talked about this last episode, and we saw it in the first episode, how she's like, I never said all these things about how you and Jenny could get married. Like, what world is she living in? Does she forget all of the things she said on camera?
Her and Shahida need to hang out, because both of them, and we'll get into Shahida later, they both think that what they said on camera is not true. You fucking
hilarious.
Said it. We watched it. Millions of people in this country watched it.
After they met with the astrologer,
astrologer.
His mom, like, not did a total 180, but like maybe like a 120.
Yeah. Like an obtuse
like an
100, triangle.
Like a little bit more than a right angle. She was like, yeah, we can't stop you from getting married. And it's true, you can't. Like,
and
they're two grown-ass people.
The astrologer said, do not interfere with them getting married.
Correct.
And then she said to Jenny, we love you.
Yeah.
And we accept you guys in a relationship, and we will not stop you if you get married.
I'm pretty sure she also said, we love you, to Jenny.
She did.
And now she's
did.
Like, I never said that.
I never said that. I never said I love Jenny. You fucking did. The receipts.
I wish they had like a fire stick or something, and Sumit just like presses play and is like, is that you? Is this you? That would have been hilarious.
I bet you on the tell-all, like, we'll get the two sides. Hopefully.
That would be so funny. But yeah, so as they're, you know, talking and yelling at each other, and Helensy said how Sumit now is not invited to anything, including the funerals. Jenny's there, and it kind of pans to her, and she's like, I don't think it's going very well. And it's like, well, yeah, obviously. And then Sumit's mom is saying how Sumit will pay for his actions in his next life, and Sumit doesn't want to be exiled by his family, but it's moving that way. And Sumit's mom says how she'll never accept Jenny, and we don't have a need for your love. And I was just, the whole time, I'm like, your mom is just a walking contradiction.
100%. And the fact is that she is so just like, it's us or it's Jenny. And that's it.
And is so mad.
So mad. And it, to me, I'm like, Sumit, just like, fucking get away from her. Just like, yeah. Run.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just, it's not healthy. And I get India is such a caste system still. It's, you know, if you're disowned by your family, you're kind of cast from the entire village, friends, family, all that stuff. So it's, I mean, we're probably going to see it in the season. Like, just move to the United States then.
Yeah, I think it's moving in that direction. And then Sumit's brother, Amit, was also saying how, like...
Wait, his name is Amit?
Yeah, you've never caught this in this season, many seasons?
I think the first season I probably caught it, and then I kind of just didn't care anymore.
So, Amit, A-M-I-T, was saying how his mother is going to be, like, be made fun of and all this stuff because her son married someone 30 years older. And it's like, just don't even bring it up. Like,
no, just be like, yeah, he's married. That's it. She's not coming to their house. Like, she's not.
You haven't invited
around.
Her stuff for the last 5 years. So what does it matter?
Hi.
And the first half of their scenes kind of ends there with Sumit's mom saying how she feels like she's lost her son. And she's just crying uncontrollably, and the Sumit's dad is like, all right, like, let's just leave. So they walk out of the house.
Yeah, and Sumit follows them and goes and hugs his mom, and she's not giving him the time of day. And he goes, you know, maybe a change of scenery will help this conversation more, and she's just like, I'm leaving.
Yeah, she's not about it. She's never going to accept Jenny. She's never going to agree to any of this. And she, like, can't believe that Sumit actually did this.
So they go off, and then, like, shit hits the fan again.
Between Sumit and Jenny.
I still don't understand this.
So Sumit comes in, and he's like, this is really bad. And Sumit wasn't translating anything, so he wasn't telling Jenny what was being said. And then Sumit is saying how Jenny is overreacting, and she's flipping out on him, and she's like, get away from me forever.
I don't understand it. Like, Sumit's like, we should talk about this. She's like, I don't want to fucking talk about this. Like, what the fuck do you want to do? Walks out, and he's like, do I need to pamper you when you get all emotional like this?
Do I need to pamper you? That was great.
That was good.
Thank you.
And but it was, this is how Jenny.
It was so funny, though. Like, he comes flying into the bedroom, and then she's like about to like fight him. Like, get away from me! Get away from me!
But I'm so confused. He literally just got disowned by his family. And I understand she can't understand Hindi.
Yeah.
Which, you're also have been living in India.
For years
now. And been talking to Sumit for 10 years now.
Yeah. You should know a little bit.
A little bit. The only thing she knows, which Sumit's mom made fun of, is, I'm well, how are you?
Yeah.
But she's like, you... prioritize them over me and this and that. It's like, he just got disowned by his family.
Yeah.
And now you're screaming at him because he literally chose you over his family. It made no sense to me whatsoever.
I think the big thing for her, though, was that so she just essentially sat there the whole time. He didn't say anything to her about what was being said, so she didn't even know really what was happening other than his parents were upset with everything that was going on. So because of that, she is just thinking the worst, like, in her head, which is essentially what happened.
Yeah.
And then as soon as the parents left, he went outside instead of sitting with Jenny and telling her what happened.
But it's not like he ran away with his parents.
No,
he just
no.
went outside to see if he could talk to them more, which yeah. obviously didn't happen. But Jenny is like, you weren't there for me. I don't know what's going on. Like, I don't understand what happened, blah, blah, blah. And Summit's like, I just want you to be there for me.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I can see that Jenny doesn't understand what just happened, that she needs to be
right.
there with him.
Right. So I think that's kind of what was going through her head and more of like a fear thing. And that's kind of how she took it and why she was lashing out like that.
And even Summit says it like, I understand you're frustrated or
yeah.
you're scared or anything, but you don't need to take it out on me.
Yeah, totally, totally agree with that. And we mentioned it briefly before, but it kind of their fight, so to say, kind of ends with Jenny saying how she wants to feel like more of a priority versus Summit's family. And now Summit is like, well, I might not have anybody else except for Jenny. So it's like, I need Jenny to support me, which is true. Like, the two of you now, like, it's essentially like you against the world type of mentality. So Lindsay and I have kind of said this the last time they're on 90 Day, but like, with this constant back and forth with the family, why are you even still there? Like, I think eventually they're going to move to the States. Palm Springs is where she's from, right?
Yeah.
California. So I could very much see them, you know, maybe towards the end of this season, if this family situation doesn't get resolved, moving to the States. Because it seemed like her children, right?
Yeah.
Her daughter.
So she has two daughters.
Yeah.
And then her one daughter, she lived with her daughter and her wife.
Yes.
And then they
yeah.
had kids. I think they had two kids.
Yeah. So they were like very receptive and open to Submit and, you know, just wanting their mom to be happy, which is totally understandable and totally agree with. So I think that's kind of the direction that we're moving into.
And I think that's what the drama is going to end up being. I still think there's going to be this family issue drama.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of happy we got it out of the way in the beginning of the season. Because if this fucking season dragged on again about his parents approving the marriage, I was gonna lose my shit.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it for the two of them. Anything else with them?
No, let's go on to the other fighting of the episode.
All right, so let's head over to Kansas City as we visit Bilal, Shida, and Shahida. So we start off with Bilal. And he is a little concerned for this meeting. And I will say that in the car ride there, and once they get to this coffee shop, he looks super nervous.
He looks like he's going to shit his pants.
He does.
He is so nervous. I think he expected Shahida to be as fiery as she ended up being.
Yeah.
And, like, did not give Shida a heads up at all.
Nah, because he, like, didn't even flinch.
No, not at all. And then he just starts, spilling, like, Muslim sayings or verses or whatever.
Yeah, like, peace be unto you and, like,
and,
all
like
this stuff.
The, like, Muhammad, like, get away the devil,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
all
yeah,
this
yeah.
stuff. And it was, like, bro did not even try. But he was not... He did not give anyone a warning about her.
No, but to that point, I kind of like how he just sat there.
And, same.
And kind of just let them kind of like duke it out.
But he needed to, because if he takes, I mean, he should have taken Shida's side to begin with, because that's his current wife.
Yeah.
But I understand why, because he needs to maintain that relationship with his ex-wife especially when it comes to the kids. And I understand that completely. So if he were to take one side or the other, it would have just caused drama. I mean,
yeah.
more drama than it already is.
Because then you already know when the kids are with Shahida, she's just going to be like, oh, well, like, your stepmom like socks and all this, like she's so mean to
me. She's trying to take your money, like all this shit.
Yeah, so like it's essentially, and this happens all the time, it's pinning the kids against one another, and it's never good for it's never good for anybody.
And that's why I'm happy they weren't there, and why I'm happy Bilal didn't butt his head in, because he can play the neutral parent in this situation.
Yeah, he can be like, I just let, it's your, like, you guys had the issue, so you guys figure it out, and I'm gonna stay over here.
But again, if we fucking knew this on the tell-all, it would have all made more sense. At Sean Robinson, at Matthew Sharp, at 90 Day Fiancé.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So they're getting coffee, and Shahida comes in, and it's just the most awkward tension in the world.
Yeah, so it was very awkward as she first sat down, and I will say, to preference it, that I agree with Shahida on the fact that I agree with Shahida that Shahida came in hot to the house.
So Shida pretty much says, like, I wanted to talk about when you came into my home, which I'm happy she's taking ownership and not saying, like, oh, Bilal's house or anything.
She wish she had said our, but.
It's true. But she came in, you came into my house, and you were very aggressive when talking about this stuff. And Shahida was just like, no, I wasn't.
She's like, I was trying to protect Bilal and protect the children. And I thought that Shida was spot on with describing Shahida's behavior.
And Shahida, in her interview, the producers ask, oh, are you going to apologize? And her face is straight up like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, she like took a took a second to like tell herself again like what was asked, and she was like, apologize for what?
Yeah, for real. So, and Shida's like, Shida saying, like, you were very aggressive, you had a lot of rage. And Shida's like, no, I wasn't. No, I wasn't. No, I wasn't.
She got real hot real quick.
And Shida,
for no reason.
And Shida's like, you're acting right now. This is how you were. No, I wasn't. I'm not acting like anything.
And then she's like standing up and leaning over the table. Like, what? What do you think? Like, this woman is just going to cower and be like, nah, like, you're right.
You need to take care of your woman, though, Jonathan.
You need to get her.
You need to get her real quick.
I'm Southeast Diego coming out. I was like, what?
She got, like, hella, like, ratchet real quick.
Yeah.
And then Bilal is just fucking praying all of a sudden. It was wild.
He's just trying to stay neutral. He's just sitting there saying his things.
Sorry, he says, I seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. That's what he was saying in Muslim. I said Muhammad before. I apologize.
Thank you for the clarification.
You're welcome. But she's standing up. She's yelling. Shida is just like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Sipping her fucking little coffee tea.
And she's like, Shahida is a bully for no reason.
Yeah, you're
and
a bully.
And it's true.
It is totally true.
She strikes me as one of those people that's tiny, so she has to talk like twice as loud and twice as big to like get her point across and like just be a bitch just because she wants to be a bitch.
And I also think that, I mean, she said on the tell-all that the reason why her and Bilal broke up is because of the way that he treats everyone, which is timeout, you know, all the businessy stuff, whatever.
Yeah, he's a salesman.
So it sounds like when they fought, he never really, like, raised his voice or, like, got aggressive or anything. So she was the aggressor. So I think now that Shida is kind of the same way, they're butting heads.
Yeah, and I would say, like, Shida isn't
aggressive.
Yeah, she can be, but she's not all the time, whereas all of the scenes with Shahida, like, that's how she is.
So
that's just her personality.
I would say Shahida is aggressive, but Shida has an attitude.
Yeah, I could see. Yeah.
So it's like, Shahida's like, well, you have this fucking attitude, so I'm going to yell so you get my point.
Yeah.
And you can change your attitude, but obviously that's not happening.
No, not at all.
So Shahida literally rips her mic off and puts it on the table, and she's like, I'm done. She's like, I'm leaving. There's no point in me being here anymore.
Yeah, so she leaves. And then shortly thereafter, Bilal is like, all right, well, let's go. So he leaves, gets in the car, and then a couple, I would say, I don't know, like 15, 20 seconds later, Shida gets in the car and they head out. And nothing is said in the car ride except for Shida, like, as they get down the road, it's like, the city looks nice at this time of night.
And Bilal is just driving, says absolutely nothing.
I think she was trying to break the awkward tension.
100%.
And, like, try to start a conversation, and he just did not flinch.
Jonathan said this when we were watching the episode. Like, we would have said, or, you know, if that ever happened to us, it would be like, so that was awkward, or, like, that was aggressive, or something like this. So really break the tension and start talking about it.
Yeah.
But Bilal says it in his interview that he was really embarrassed, especially that this happened in public.
Yep.
And, like, he's just being silent in the car because he'll probably say something that he'll regret.
Yeah, he doesn't want to say anything, and then it blows up and makes it worse. And I do understand that, and I get it. So he strikes me as somebody who is similar to me in the sense of he wants to kind of, like, weigh everything before, like, making a decision, which is, like, there's, like, different sales ways, and it's, like, there's different ways to do it. There's the people that, like, just want the basic information. There's people that want all of the information, and Bilal is one of the people that wants all of the information and to, like, make a decision that he feels is right and what he is going to say is going to be the right thing. So that's why he's not saying anything in this situation. So I do understand it from that perspective.
Okay, I see that.
Sorry, that was a little bit of a rant, but...
No. I'm, like, trying to envision this in my brain because I'm definitely the Shida where if something happens, I want to talk about it right away.
Yeah.
And I know you're the Bilal way where you want to mull it over kind of thing. I will say, though, Happily Ever After is making me like Bilal more than 90 Day OG did.
I would agree.
I just think he seems calmer.
Yeah, for sure. I think now, since, like, the whole wedding thing is over and his kids seem to be okay with Shida, that's taken, like, a huge burden off of him, so to say.
Yeah.
So... But that was pretty much it for their scenes. Anything else with them?
I don't think so.
All right. So then next time we see that Bilal says he's disappointed.
He says that he's really disappointed, and it makes her feel that all the fingers are pointing towards her. And then she starts crying because she doesn't think she did anything wrong, which I don't think she did anything wrong anymore. Okay, sorry. Backing up real quick. I think her argument is wrong in the fact that she is saying that Shahida came in, like, hot and heavy, which I agree with, she did. But I think her argument should have been, like, you are completely removed from me and Bilal's relationship and our prenup. You spoke out of turn.
Yeah.
When it came to this.
Yeah, she's like, I've been here and my kids have been here.
Yeah, like, that was...
It's like, okay, well, you're not there anymore.
There was no reason for her to ever get involved. If Bilal was concerned about the kids, he should have brought that up.
Yeah, and if anything, like, do not trust him as a father to not protect the children.
For real, though.
That seems like a deeper issue.
Yeah, you two need to figure out.
Yeah, exactly.
Come get her. You better get your girl.
Southeast Diego. That was so wild.
It was like, what? Where is this coming from?
So Bilal's disappointed.
And then Jovi and Yara try to mend their relationship with Miss Gwen, which, like, thank God, episode 3, we're finally getting Miss Gwen.
She got her hair colored.
She looks good.
Miss Gwen.
Miss Gwen is the OG. Her and Janice.
They should be on Pillow Talk together.
They should.
That would be
I just
funny.
Had a genius idea.
Like the moms of Pillow
the
Talk.
The moms of Pillow Talk, 90 Fiancé. If you do this, you owe us royalties.
And Brandon's mom with the fake
no,
cry.
No, I can't stand her. I can't stand her. So anyway, so Miss Gwen says that she loves being a grandma, but she ain't nobody's nanny.
I agree.
I agree too.
But
it also looks like they're on like a fucking steamboat in the bayous.
Out in the bayou?
I don't know. Neutral site, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. The second wife gets talked about with Kim and Usman, aka Soulja Boy, and Kim wants the second wife away from them.
Kimbali is in Nigeria, by the way.
Yes.
And she wants him away from them. And Usman says, why? You share the same dick.
Is he wrong, though?
He's not, but that was a disgusting way to put it.
Agreed.
And she goes, I almost just threw my plate of food at you.
Which she should have, because that would have been hilarious.
It would have been so funny. But, like, don't say that.
Yeah, that's gross.
That's gross.
First duty, first submit, is to comfort his parents.
And he has to decide. And Jenny says that Submit has to decide between his parents or their happiness.
Yes. Nothing in the previews for Andre and Libby, which is disappointing. I hope they make an appearance.
I know, but since it seems like the other one is making an appearance, I think they'll be cut from this episode.
I agree.
So next week might be a little short.
Yeah, as crazy Angela is talking to some dude in Canada now, even though if Michael ever talked to another girl, it would have been the end of the world. But that's a story for a different day.
Yeah, and we're not going to discuss it on here. we might watch Angela's scenes just because, like, we've also watched Angela for the past, like, 4 fucking years.
Not talking about them.
But we're not talking about her. Pred, we're definitely not talking about him.
Who?
Pred.
Oh, Pred Ed, yeah.
Pred Ed. But besides that, thanks for listening. If you want more 90-day content, I'm going to start. I know I say this every week, but I am going to start posting more on our Instagram, 90day_ourway. I'm going to interact with a lot of cast members and stuff like that. So just be on the lookout for that. If you like sports and betting and anything else Jonathan talks about in his podcast, listen to the JK pod. He gives really good advice. He hit over like 60% or 70% in the past week or something like that.
Over a 2-month time period, we are at 64%. So we're making money here, folks.
There you go. So listen to that at the JK pod. You can find it on all your streaming platforms. But I'm Lindsay, that's Jonathan, and we really appreciate you tuning in this week, and we will see you next time. Oh, and by the way, happy Labor Day.
Thank you all, appreciate it, and see you next week.
Bye.